スデバエヤ。
Radharaman, looking at this piece of cloth sitting on the floor here. It represents an unseen personality. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 21, and I think it's 33, isn't it? 33. Is that right? On the board? 33. Tam eva yuyam bhajata atma prithivihi manaha vachaha kaya unai Sakarma bihi amayinaha kamadugha amri pankajam yata adhikara avastita artha siddhayaha. Tam me do you yum, but a tatma vitti beer. Mano vachat kaya gunai svakarma bihi. Amayina kama tu gangri pankajam. Yathadhikara vasitata siddhaya. Tameva yuyam bhajatatma svitibhir. Mano vachakaya gunai sukarmi. Amayana kama dugam. Amayana kama tu gamri pankajam. Yathadhikara vasitata siddhaya. Tameva yuyam bhajatatma vitibhir. Kaya gunai sukarmani. Amayana kakama dugangri pankajam. Yathadhikara vasitata siddhaya.
Tam.
Unto him.
Worship,
Atma, Om, Vitibhihi, occupational duty.
Occupational duty.
Manaha.
Manaha.
Mind.
Mind.
Vachaha.
Vachaha.
Words.
Words.
Kaya.
Kaya.
Body.
Body.
Gunai.
Gunai.
By the particular qualities.
By particular qualities.
The karmabihi.
Karmabihi.
By occupational duties.
By occupational duties.
Amayi nama.
Amayi nama.
Without reservation.
Without reservation.
Kamaduga.
Kamaduga.
Fulfilling all desires.
Fulfilling all desires.
Amri pankajam.
Amri pankajam.
The lotus feet.
Lotus feet.
Yata.
Yata.
As far as.
As far as.
Adhikara.
Adhikara.
Ability.
Ability.
Avasita arta.
Avasita arta.
Fully convinced of.
Fully convinced of.
One's interest.
One's interest.
Siddhayaha.
Siddhayaha.
Satisfaction.
Satisfaction.
Translation and report by His Divine Grace, Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prithu Maharaj advised his citizens, he's talking to his citizens, engage in your minds, your words, your bodies, and the results of your occupational duties, and being always open-minded, you should all render devotional service to the Lord, according to your abilities and the occupations in which you are situated. You should engage your service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with full confidence and without reservation. Then you will surely be successful in achieving the final objective in your lives. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, as stated in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, one has to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's occupational duties. This necessitates accepting the principle of four varnas and four ashramas. Prithu Maharaj therefore says, Gunai Svakarma Bihi. This phrase is explained in Bhagavad Gita. Chaturvanya Maya Shrishtam. Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. The four castes, the Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, the Vaishyas, and the Shudras are created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to the material modes of nature and the particular duties discharged in those modes. A person who is situated in the mode of goodness is certainly more intelligent than others. Therefore, he can practice the brahminical activities, namely speaking the truth, controlling the senses, controlling the mind, remaining always clean, practicing tolerance, having full knowledge about one's self-identity, and understanding devotional service. For those who accepted the responsibility of brahminical second initiation, these are the characteristics that we have to practice brahminical activities. And this is the summary. If somebody brings the Bhagavad Gita, we'll read a few verses from there too. Bhagavad Gita, as it is, please. In this way, if he engages himself in the loving service of the Lord as an actual Brahmin, his aim to achieve the final interest of life is attained. Similar to Kshatriya's duties are to give protection to the citizens, to give all of his possessions in charity, to be strictly Vedic in the management of state affairs, and to be unafraid to fight whenever there is an attack by enemies. In this way, a Kshatriya can satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his occupational duties. Similarly, a Vaishya can satisfy the Supreme Godhead by properly executing his occupational duties, engaging himself in producing foodstuffs, giving protection to cows, and trading, if necessary, when there is an excess of agricultural production. Simply because Shudras do not have ample intelligence, they should simply engage as workers to serve the highest statuses of social life. Everyone's aim should be to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead by engaging his mind in thinking always of Krishna, his words in always offering prayers to the Lord, or preaching about the glories of the Lord, and his body in executing the service required to satisfy the Lord. As there are four divisions within our body, the head, the arms, the belly, and the legs. Similarly, human society, taken as a whole, is divided into four classes of men, according to their material qualities and occupational duties. Thus, the Brahminical or intelligent men have to execute the duty of the head. The Kshatriya must fulfill the duty of the arms. The Vaishya class must fulfill the duty of the belly, and the Shudras must fulfill the duty of the legs. In executing the prescribed duties of life, no one is higher or lower. There are such divisions as higher and lower, but since there is actually a common interest to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are no distinctions between them. The question may be raised that since the Lord is supposed to be worshipped by great demigods like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and others, how can an ordinary human being on this planet serve him? This is clearly explained by Prithu Maharaj by the use of the word yathadhikara, according to one's ability. If one sincerely executes his occupational duty, that will be sufficient. One does not need to become like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Indra, Lord Chaitanya, or Ramanujacharya, whose capabilities are certainly far above ours. Even a Shudra who is in the lowest stage of life, according to the material qualities, can achieve the same success. Anyone can become successful in devotional service, provided he displays no duplicity. It is explained here that one must be very frank and open-minded. To be situated in a lower status of life is not a disqualification for success in devotional service. The only qualification is that whether one is a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, he must be open, frank, and free from reservations. And this little section here is pretty important. The first majority of the purport we may be kind of familiar with, or maybe not following it, kind of familiar with it, maybe not on the platform of distinctions or non-distinctions between them. Because here Prabhupada makes it clear, because the goal, the common interest is there, this is called the unity and diversity factor, which Srila Prabhupada emphasized, because every living entity has a different, unique, conditional nature. But the unifying factor is that we have the same common interest in the material world. People do not have, I mean, some groups have common interest in certain areas, but not everybody, and not even within those certain areas, they don't have common interest in every area, in certain areas. But in devotional service, everyone's supposed to have the same common interest to satisfy Krishna, and how to satisfy Krishna. By working, as is mentioned here, by King Prithu, who's instructing his citizens to take their positions and work accordingly, to offer the fruits of their work to Krishna, and so on, to work for Krishna, to serve Krishna, and it's like that. So it's the duty of the leaders of society to engage people, not to change their occupational activity, but to teach people how to engage their lives in relationship with Krishna, their conditional lives. When Srila Prabhupada was in Montreal, maybe in 1967 or 68, or something like that, he was talking about this subject matter when, I think it was Pradumna, one of the boys, brought it up, that what does it mean to be expert? Srila Prabhupada said that expert means just like the calf. We were discussing it last few days ago, how human beings, they take ages before they can even think of looking after themselves or being a little bit self-reliant. And years, sometimes longer. And whereas little animals, within a couple of hours, 3 hours, the calf is on its feet and already going for the mother's udder. And within an hour, the giraffe is on its feet. They don't take long to get up there and start doing their business. Humans take a very slow. They take a long time. I'll tell you what to do. Unfortunately, people are really slow in spiritual life as well. But here we see that it's not difficult. If the society is organized properly, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, which we've just heard those superlative verses from the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which is the perfection of... what is that perfection?
Renunciation.
It isn't always understood in the same way that most people think of renunciation. It means that one is giving up one's own agenda, in a sense. We may have our agenda, but we're offering that agenda. We're connecting that agenda to Krishna. We're renouncing the fruits of the work. Or the idea that, you know, I'm the creator, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer, all these things. So here we see in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains the qualities of the Brahman. Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra are distinguished by the qualities born of their own natures in accordance with the material modes. Kshatriyas are the enemy. Excuse me. And in the previous verse, Krishna said, no being in this world is free from the three modes of nature. So according to the conditioning of the three modes, different people have different natures, because it's all due to their desire and karma and so on. So the Brahmins, the qualities, the mode, the mastaksho, chom, shanti, rajabhum, evacha. What are the qualities of a Brahmana? This maybe many of you know. What are they mentioned here in Gita? What are they? Qualities of the Brahmin, what are they? Okay, well, Shamana. What is Shamana? Pardon?
Peaceful.
Dhamma. Pardon?
Self-control.
Very good. Self-control. Tapaha.
Austerity.
Shocham. Cleanliness. Or purity. Shantihi. Tolerance. Arjavam. Arjavam. Pardon? Arjavam. It may be also sometimes termed like that, but here is mentioned. Honesty. Arjavam. Honesty. Can also be developed into simplicity. Ava. Certainly. Gyanam. Vigyan, Astikyam, what's that? Religiousness. Following these principles, the Vanish. So such a person, these are born Svabhavajam, of his own nature. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness. These are the natural qualities by which the Brahmins work. They're natural. Everything has its quality. Human life is kind of a complicated. Lost touch with nature. Culture. I would say this is a cultural revolution. Cultural revolution is to be, in one sense, is to be in touch with nature. Our own nature and the material nature also around us. We use the term material world around us as nature. Just like an animal or bird in their normal habitat, they're completely working in unity with nature. They're not working against nature's arrangements. The fish in the ocean is really at home. For us, it's very unnatural to be, you know, floating around in the water. It's not our habitat. It's not our nature. The fish is happy when those waves are lashing, and you know, he's enjoying it. He's taking shelter of the ocean. Oh, that's a nice example, which Prabhupada sometimes uses when we take shelter. The fish is fearless, and for us it's a fearful situation, whatever we may be. For a fish, it's very fierce, it's a very enjoyable situation. So Simply taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of God, his lotus feet, makes one fearless of Vaishyavananda Vinda. One who is fearless of the lotus feet of the Lord. That fearlessness of that, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, this is inclusive in this process of the whole system given herein by the Lord. It may be the beginning, very preliminary, it's like the very beginning at the bottom. Taking shelter of the Vana Shan system, etc. in Vedic culture, working in that way according to the Vedic injunctions and so on. But it's the beginning of knowingly or unknowingly of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which make one fearless, as we hear from Krishna Das in his song, Vajagarema Srinandananda Vajachadanaravinda. It becomes fearless. Engage your mind towards thinking of the lotus feet of the Lord, which makes one fearless. And then the kshatriyas, they are fearless. And what are the characteristics of a kshatriya? Pardon? Who knows? Heroism. There's not an artificial sort of thing established by some falsity. They're naturally heroic. They're not estimated, not even hankering for that, but it's a natural characteristic which they have. What's another one? Another one, please.
Power.
Power. Another one.
Courage in battle.
Courage in battle. And nowadays, a lot of times, you know, wars when they have foot soldiers, they don't have that. Many of some of them do. And Gurkhas, they do. They're very courageous. But many people are just young boys, or people are just brought in with wrong motivation. They're not very courageous. You have to fill them with drugs to keep them going sometimes. What's another one?
Resourcefulness.
Resourcefulness, yeah. Resourceful. Adjustable to circumstances. What's another one?
Expert.
Pardon? Yeah, I didn't finish it. Well, it's not actually, they are expert, but then it's not one of the characteristics mentioned here. But in terms of expert, Prabhupada then went on to say, and in Montreal, it's pretty well divergent from the point, that expert means, you know, reacting according to one's nature, not trying to imitate. He said, if you can't drive, don't imitate someone who can, because you may learn to drive. In principle, we do act according to we're supposed to. I mean, in a normal circumstance, in today's life it's not so normal, but in a normal circumstance, it's recommended that a person act according to their conditional nature, Gustha Dharma. And he said, that's expert. It's not our business to become a plumber, to become a carpenter, to become a lawyer, to become a this, to become that. And that's your nature, that's another thing. But it's not our, no, we have to become. They're already there. So the entire system is there already. We just have to connect it to Krishna. The lawyers are there, the doctors are there, the managers are there, the businessmen are there, the farmers are there, the workers, everything's already there in the world. It's just not connected to Krishna, therefore it's disunited. People are acting on the platform. They're envious of each other. Just like in France now, there's hundreds of thousands of people protesting against the policy of the government. Maybe they've got different motives also, but that was the principle underlying kickoff. Because they see that still the elite are getting the cream, you know, and the people in general are struggling, they can't afford to buy 5 pints of beer a day, or, you know, two kilos of beef, or, you know, they can't afford the latest Apple Mac, whatever it is they're complaining about, you know. Or Mercedes car, like the guy, the big guy. You know, they're envious, very envious. And the leaders are envious too, exploiting them maybe. But they're envious because they don't know the point of life. As long as we don't focus on the point of life, we will be envious also in our efforts to call ourselves bhaktas or devotees. Because we're thinking of ourselves, we're putting ourselves or our own group neophytes in the center. And we're forgetting the real purpose of it all. as Prabhupada's mentioning here, that it doesn't matter. Even if one has a little capacity, we've all probably heard from the Ramayana, the nice sweet pastime of the spider, the squirrel, the Ramayana say different things. Whatever it is, some little creature who is assisting Lord Ramchandra in building a bridge to Lanka, and they're trying to push little pebbles, little dust into the ocean, and Hanuman is thinking, what a waste of time. You're getting in the way, please move to the side. As we sometimes tell others like that. But Lord Ramachandra was he chastised Hanuman. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? That service of the spiders is dear to me, yours. In fact, more dear because your service is tinged with pride, as we heard yesterday. But the spider is just doing it without pride, he's doing it according to his nature, his capacity. I accept that in one sense as superior to your service. He's showing an example, of course. So we get proud of our God-given capacity, whatever the actions or the modes of nature are on our body or mind or whatever. And we get very proud of it. And the various qualities that come there are terrible. PhDs, or expert at this or that. So the definition of expertise is acting according to one's nature, doing it for Krishna. So that's expert. Not doing it to impress others, but in the way that Krishna will be pleased. This is really expert, even if it's this bit only, no matter what we've got to for our past karma or our desires, we can become perfect by engaging up to the best capacity of Krishna's service, even if it's just a little bit. Krishna sees that. It's as much as we can do, and Krishna's very pleased. You're giving your all. So this brings unity with everyone's mentality, everyone's objective is to please Krishna, and not just to establish myself as being a hero amongst fools. The real hero is one who acts on behalf of Krishna. It's a quality of a kshatriya. It's a quality, in the real sense of the term, of every Vaishnava. Power, determination, and generosity, and leadership, they're the qualities of the kshatriya. And that of a Vaishya, what are the Vaishya qualities?
Cow
protection. In the original, some translation originally said cattle rearing. The devotee translated it in the original as cattle rearing. Prabhupada had to change it. Not cattle rearing, cow protection. Cattle rearing these days particularly refers to the things that go on in much of Australia and the USA and other countries for the slaughter of cows. Or books. Farming, cow protection, and business. And business was mainly trading. It wasn't like big industrial complexes, hellish situations. It was trading the products of farming or other things like clothing or some necessities of life. No, and then now almost all of the society today is just one big anarcha producing masses of rubbish. Masses of rubbish. That's all it is. Big plastic things and different things you squirt on you and rub on you and things you take in here and things you do things with and masses of rubbish. Millions of useless toys for children which never satisfy them. Useless things. And we're caught up in a whole garbage cycle. Devotees were caught up even in the house and like 5,000 toys the kids got. 99.97% are totally useless practically. And we get caught up in the whole cycle like that. And then on the other end, all sorts of bits and pieces in the house, paraphernalia and different electronic gadgets and so many things and 5,000 sets of clothing, whatever you've got, you know. Shoes, horrible, useless fashion shoes, spending $50-$100 just to have your hair combed, and all sorts of things to make it look a little different. And people are wasting their energy, and they're working hard for this rubbish. You know, and I say, what are you working for? You're just working for rubbish. Mostly, it's not necessity. In the Vedic society, you work for necessity. And the real necessity is to awaken our Krishna consciousness. Everything will appear in that direction. And of course, we can try to engage all these things in Krishna service. We've got to be careful we don't become clouded over by all these things. We become dependent on them all. Generally speaking, it's that we take what's required. Ishvasini dham sabam yamkin chayakacham yukatina chyapena vajtam abhikakshu svidhanam. This is the Vedic recommendation. We should know that everything is the property of the Lord and should be used for His purpose. We should only take that which is our quota, that which is necessary, not usurping or trying to usurp the quotas of others. Be satisfied with what you've got and use that in Krishna's service, and one's life will become perfect. And we're never satisfied. Our modern society is society of dissatisfaction, practically. People are on the road. That's when millions of people are parading through the streets of London, protesting against this, and they don't even know what they're doing, really. For totally in ignorance. And the leaders are blind fools following the male people, fools following the blind fools, foolish leaders. They don't know what they're doing. They just don't know, full stop. And people are still following. They're busy, don't have an alternative, and they won't know, they won't take the actual alternative. Even as someone was struggling with it, to put Krishna in the center, it's all about, you know, me or my interpretation or something or another sometimes. We follow the Guru Shastra Sadhu, which helps us take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, which really helps us to become fearless. And for the vast majority of the population, they are simply sugars. Yes, they're lucky. It's a very great compliment to be classified as a Shudra. Compliment. Shudras are actually in the society, they're in a Vedic society, they're in a human category. Most people are not in the human category. They're not there. They're not following any Vedic principles. They're Ankyajas, they're outside of the human category. Just following sense gratification with no direction from above. I mean, direction from some other, you know, rascal, fool. But not from scriptures, not, and even scriptures have changed to interpret so things according to our own, what we would like, etc. Not even in the Varnashram system, they're outside of it. I mean, something's called a sugar, get upset, but actually it's a great compliment. But we're not that advanced. You know, I'm not yet advanced to be addressed as a sugar. We get upset, someone will say that, but the vast majority of people have some different tendencies, maybe flicking around. But basically, we're coming over with licentious, it's quite a version of the material world. Not everybody, but the majority of people. I mean, that kind of kaloshu is something. Can you be able to shoot your best? And then you have to see by the quality, you know, like birth. And the other verse, Guru Prabhupada quotes Chattavana, Ashishan, Guru Karma, Vibhakrishan. And according to one's birth, no. According to the qualities of work. Born of the qualities of work, not born of a mother or a father, he doesn't say that. He says born of the qualities of work. What are our characteristics? What's our character? They can change by association. Usually it's pretty much, you know, part of our intrinsic nature, maybe you could say. There's nothing wrong with that. It just has to be engaged properly. And as soon as we're untruthful and we try to imitate others, we have chaos. And this is, I was talking to one devotee last night. I was so sorry to hear his pitiful story. He was working, okay, we're in an abnormal society nowadays, but he's a good worker. he's working for a company as the manager of some department, just another labor job, really, just acting on behalf of some exploitative corporate. But he was doing something, and he was doing quite well. And he had some illness, so they kind of gave him voluntary, kind of like, you know, retrenchment or whatever you call it. So he did. And he got a good money. He thought, now I can use this money, and I will also become a successful businessman. And then I'll have lots of time for serving Krishna. What happened, of course, because he wasn't a businessman, he then indulged in modern day terminology business, and he lost everything very quickly. Ripped off one of his partners, ripped him off the whole lot. And now he's working like an ass around the clock to try to keep going again. With no money. He's had to leave his home, leave his family behind, and come here to work hard. And he's got nothing. He can't even afford a car. He has to go on the bus. And he's like, I haven't even got a penny here. And acting not according to one's nature. And that's no one's really acting, but most people are basically shivers, and they need to be engaged or employed. And when we try to do business and we're not, we have to work like an ass, and sometimes we get it, and we're still not happy. We're still not sex. Maybe you make a little bit more than the others around you. You think I'm doing pretty good. But that's not really a business. A vaishya does not work like an ass. That's a shiva's job. Selling things door to door is 100% shiva business. Even accountancy and things like this, Prabhupada says, is a business of shivas. They're just employed. They're just laborers. The whole education system is to make stupid sutras. They just do what they're told. PhDs and scientists, they're just servants. They're doing what they're told, although they get sacked. Basically, even politicians aren't much different. The whole society is just hoodwinked. And there's no way that they're going to be happy by adjusting them and then put another sutra in charge. They don't know what the goal of life is. They don't know. Unless that is understood, everything is a waste of time. As we read yesterday, Shalini Vani Kevana. Dharma Stori Stop Bhumsan Vishwak Senekadasan Vapadi Yadi Divati Shalini Vani Kevana. It's a complete waste of time. We forget that. We get caught up in all these things, and we think we need some society's pushing like anything. It's very hard not to get caught up. Push, push, push. Educate, educate. Make sure they learn how to buy rubbish and work hard so they got money to buy it, etc. The whole education system is driving us in this direction because we're missing the point. We're missing the point of human form of life. It's not meant for Kamasya Nendya. Not to just chair karma being. Human life is not meant for sense gratification. Pretty heavy statement. Human life is not meant for sense gratification. One can only live a healthy life just maintaining body, mind, soul, doing the needful to maintain and nourish our families, etc. But it's actually meant for jiva sita, the jignasa, inquiry into the nature of the absolute truth. That should be the goal of all of our work. That's the purpose of activity, the purpose of life, is to engage in samsidhira, that the purpose of the vanashram and all activities, it's not really vanashram, but anyway, without Varnashram, Prabhupada says, in whatever occupation you're doing, do it for Krishna. Learn how to do it for Krishna, then it's like can become useful. Your Kurushi Dashanasya, your Usi Dadasya, the Pasad Kundika to Krishna Ram, verses meant is inferred here. Whatever we do, whatever work you do, whatever offerings you make, whatever sacrifice, everything charity, should be done as an offering unto me. And the result of that is what? If we do it as an offering unto Krishna. Who knows where that verse is? Come on. Yet Karoshi Rashmasi. Come on. 926. Very good. Most confidential knowledge. 27. Not so good. Almost very good. Good, but not very good. 26 is Patram Pushpam. 27, Yat Karoshi Rashmasi. Do that as Sana Kunti is an offering unto me, whatever you do. In this way, what happens? What's the result of that? You lose all your money, right? I come along, some other Swami comes along, Temple of Eighth Planetarian comes along, Aniruddha and his team come along, somebody else comes along, the children come along, the government comes along, everyone comes along, takes everything away, right? You're finished. Miserable. So what happens? If you don't do it with Krishna, you're going to lose it anyway, by the way. It's all going to be taken away. Someone else is going to take it away. Don't worry, it's all going to be taken away. Can't even keep one mobile phone. Not even anything. Time of death, it's all taken away. And usually before. So what happens?
We become free from bondage.
Who said that? Very good. You're reading it? Oh, very good. Excellent. That's better. You're reading. That means we're serious about the books. Okay. Someone who's not reading the book. You've already got the first thing. You become free from bondage to what? Don't say anything there. Somebody else, please. Free from bondage to what? To your wife. Husband. Maybe. Now what's the Krishna say?
Bondage to work.
Bondage to work and?
The results of work.
Yeah, I mean, usually people won't like this much. You become free from bondage to work. Okay, that's not so bad. And it's auspicious. Oh, no, give me the good results, please. You never hear people pray to God, please forgive me for my pious activities. Ever heard anyone pray that? Please release me from the results of my pious activities. Right? You ever heard anyone pray like that? It always, please don't punish me for my sins, right? Free me from the reaction of my sinful activity. Always. No one thinks like this. The auspicious activities are just as binding as inauspicious. The same. They may have a different result in the material frame, but they're the same basic principle of illusion. Free from all this duality. With your mind fixed on me and this principle, this is the principle of renunciation. It's all, fixed on everything for Krishna. And then I'm free, whatever you want me to do, my Lord. Yeah. Punish me or reward me according to your will. Then you're liberated. This is real renunciation. And you come to Krishna. It's so nice to do that. So just to finish off these few verses here. Then Krishna says, by following the qualities of work, every man can become perfect. Now hear how this can be done. By worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings, and who is all-pervading, a man can attain perfection through performing his own work. You see, Bhagavad Gita, as we heard from Arima the other day, we heard a lot about it on the opening, I heard a wonderful interaction between Ramana Roy and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and these verses are quoted by Ramana Roy, some of them, even up to the point of Sarvadharma and Prakriti. Yeah, but it's rejected as external. It's still, basically in terms of identifying with this material world. And still, interacting with the material world, you could say, in kind of an identifying way. It's still external. And I mean, can jana prayas modal thustam. In that verse of Lord Ramana, you stay where you are in your own situation, you hear the transcendental subject. So Bhagavad Gita takes off, and then we hear the transcendental subject matter. Almost in ignorance, we could say, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita, we're taking shelter of the lifestyle, the instructions, etc., the society arrangements and so on, which is necessary to help people to turn their attention towards the goal of life. But Srimad Bhagavatam is like we're actually at the lotus feet of the Lord. It's just so many wonderful, let's say, windows, opportunities to actually understand, take shelter of that. The surrender to Krishna means full shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. That's where the protection is. But there's not much mention of the lotus feet of the Lord in the Gita in one sense. There's not much mention of the essential, what happens when we're taking shelter there. The Bhagavatam gives the actual next stage, the pure devotional service. Gita is to bring us to the platform of pure devotional service through various means, various processes. Now, society to, in the beginning don't have no concept of pure devotional service. Devotional service means a motivated effort to get something out of God. If you're actually, I'm a devotee, but then the last night is Vidmaha, the illusion, say, in the sense of the person who I was working with is a devotee of Lord Shiva. I said he's not a devotee of Lord Shiva. He wouldn't do this if he was a devotee of Lord Shiva. But people say, I'm a devotee of Lord Shiva. What does that mean? It means we're a devotee of ourselves and Lord Shiva, you do what I say. Or whatever, that's the idea, basically. God. It's not a devotee of some kind of sentiment. It's not a devotee. It is better to engage in one's own occupation, even though one may perform it imperfectly, than to accept another's occupation and perform it perfectly. That's a very interesting subject, which we're not getting to now. It's another topic. Duties prescribed according to one's nature are never affected by sinful reactions. Every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. Therefore, one should not give up the work born of his nature, O son of Kunti, even if such work is full of faults. One who is self-controlled, unattached, and disregards all material enjoyments can obtain by practice of this renunciation the highest perfect stage of freedom from reaction. So then he goes on to explain, how one can achieve this perfection, supreme perfection or stage, the spiritual stage. The one thing to act properly in this material framework, and if we're following a spiritually enlightened leadership, we can come to this platform, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna, and then real devotion service can be here. I'll just finish the purport to today's verse. It is explained here, and that's really important, I'll read it again. Anyone can become successful in devotional service, provided he displays no duplicity. That's related both to practical activity and also error. Internal, say, consciousness. And to be situated in a lower status of life is not a disqualification for success. But one must be frank, open, and free from reservation. Then, by performing his particular occupational duty under the guidance of a proper spiritual master, he can achieve the highest success in life. As confirmed by the Lord Himself, Sriyo Vaishastita Shudas Devi Yandi Parangatim. I was on the street in a town called South Shields in 1981. And I was alone, distributing Prabhupada's books. South Shields is a tiny town in the north of England, middle of nowhere, it's near Newcastle. And a very industrialized city. Originally it's not that, it's kind of retirement homes. It was very industrial. It was a little higher class of the industry. But anyway, I was just doing books there. And a lady came up to me. I guess she could be called a lady. She didn't behave very well. It is the closest I've ever come across meeting a living witch. Maybe I've met one, but I can remember this one vividly. Very much like a living witch. And quite an extraordinary experience. And somehow or another, she had read this verse in Bhagavad Gita. And oh my goodness, did she give it to me? Nothing I could do to get out of there. It was like, oh, it rang on me for days. She gave me such a spell, some kind of wow, bam, roar, bam. Women, sugars, and fashions. Well, as I said before, what we heard before, then we call it a shudra, it's very animated. It means, the verse means anyone can get perfection No matter what we are, whatever body we're in, we the very few men reach the category of Shudra. Very few, in reality, on the state of Vaishnava. Prabhupada said they're all Shudras and a few Vaishnavas, and that's it. There's nothing in between, nothing else in society practically. People are taking roles of so-called Brahmins and Kshatriyas, but they're not qualified. Most Vaishnavas, mostly Shudras. But it's element, because it's Kali Yuga, Krishna speaking, this verse is very relevant. It does not matter what one is, Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or even a degraded woman. If one is, it doesn't mean all women are degraded, by the way, it just means even if one is a degraded woman, it's a loose prostitute or whatever. If one engages himself seriously in devotional service, working with body, mind, and intelligence, he's sure to be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. The Lord's lotus feet are described here as Kama, Dukandri, Pankajam, because they have all power to fulfill the desires of everyone. A devotee is happy even in this life, because although in material existence we have many needs, all his material needs are satisfied. In the Bhagavad Gita, Yava Matupami, Savatam, Sampradhikam, all one who takes shelter of the ocean, all the purposes of the small reservoirs are automatically served. One who knows the purpose behind the Vedas, all the purposes of the Vedas are revealed. We don't need to make separate endeavor, When we're connected to Krishna, everything is supplied, the ultimate root of the tree, you could say. A devotee is happy even in this life, because although in material existence we have many needs, all of his needs are satisfied, and when he at last quits his body, he goes back home, back to Godhead, without doubt. That's the end of the purport. I'm just going to finish off by reading one more purport, which is really nice. It's about the creature Maharajas. This is the next chapter. Meeting with the four Kumaras. Famous verses. Vipada Pankaja Balasha Vilasa Mukhya Karma Shayam Vatityam Udvataya Di Satantaha Santaha. I'll just read English. The devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can very easily overcome hard knotted desires for fruitive activity. Because this is very, very difficult, the non-devotees, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. What's difficult is just to overcome the hard knotted desires for fruitive. We all know how difficult that is. Therefore, you are, because we're still a little mixed with jnana and karma in our devotional service, we're not pure bhakti, a little mixed. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. Son of Vasudeva, excuse me. Fantastic purport, describing this whole subject matter of how we can become freed of the entanglement of material life. One should therefore take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord instead of trying unsuccessfully to stop desires for material enjoyment. As long as one is unable to stop the desire for material enjoyment, there is no possibility of becoming liberated from the entanglement of material existence. It may be argued the waves of a river are incessantly flowing, but they cannot be stopped. Krishna says that. They flow just like the desires that come flowing, just like the river, waves of the river, never stopping. However, Prabhupada says here, when the tide comes over the river, it overwhelms the flowing of the river, and the river itself becomes overflooded. And the waves from the sea become more prominent than the waves from the river. Simply a devotee with intelligent plans so many things for the service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness, that stagnant material desires become overflooded by the desire to serve the Lord, the seeker. As confirmed by Dronacharya, since he has been engaged in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, there is always a current of newer and newer desires flowing to serve the Lord, so much so that the stagnant desire for sex life becomes very insignificant. And he spits on the thought of such desires. Not on, not if we take it wrong, it's on the desire within ourselves, not on the object of their desire, by the way. Some people take it wrongly. So that's the Purandrishtha, about to take the higher taste. The conclusion is that by developing a loving desire for service at the lotus feet of the Lord, we subdue all material desires for sense gratification. That's the secret. That's the secret. The ocean in essence is very different to cross the next verse because it is infested with so many dangerous sharks. Although those who are non-devotees undergo severe austerities and penances to cross the ocean, we recommend you simply take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, which are like boats for crossing the ocean, although the ocean is difficult to cross. By taking shelter of his lotus feet, you will overcome all dangers. Even the danger of impersonal liberation. Some of the Kumaras were self-realized souls on the Brahman platform, but when they actually had the opportunity to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord in the form of the tulsi, the fragrance of the tulsi of the Lord's lotus feet, that fragrance for the emanation of the beautiful shining toes of the Lord, somehow or another becoming attractive, then one can rise above even liberation on the Brahman, the Sayukya liberation, merging into the Brahman, which is another pitfall. So they moved forward from that stage to the stage of pure devotion, so by becoming attracted to the fragrance of the tulsi leaves offered in the lotus feet of the Lord. Somehow or another, we have to become attracted to the lotus feet of the Lord in its various forms. In the growth stage, say the system of Varna Ashram and so on and so forth, and further until we become attracted to hearing the messages of the Lord and wanting to give those messages to others, to engage others, planning how we can engage others, engage ourselves and engage others in Krishna service, material desire of the self side. As the sun rises, the darkness goes away. Krishna is like the sun. It cannot be darkness. So come into the sunlight. Come out of the darkness into the light. That's the process. So within the darkness, there are processes to bring us to that point. The process of Bhagavatam is to give us the light. We can live in the light with Krishna in the center, at the shelter of the lotus feet. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any questions?
We are sincere with Frank, as Srila Prabhupada means, and we attempt to share this knowledge with other people. Can we depend on Krishna's mercy?
Can we want to depend on Krishna's mercy? Yeah, the Krishna's mercy is, again, it comes in many ways. We have to have the intelligence to know how to, you could say, apply that. So we take that from others. Krishna's mercy comes through others. And I'll give you an example of that. How sometimes a person is taking shelter of Krishna, but they don't listen to others. They plow on with their own conditional nature. And say, I'm taking shelter of Krishna. Why did this happen to me? Because we didn't hear Krishna's mercy coming through others, maybe giving a slightly more intelligent perspective of the situation. So taking shelter of Krishna's mercy isn't just some internal sentiment. There's actually humility involved. But I don't know when I'm going to take shelter. Even Lord Chaitanya went to Ishwarapuri when he was experiencing what was ultimately ecstatic symptoms. He thought he was going mad or something. He placed his situation before Ishwarapuri direction, etc. So we do that with Krishna consciousness, to hear from others as to how, what it means to be frank, straightforward, open-minded, whatever it may be, how what it means. Otherwise, you may not be in other directions in where you, how to speak the truth, other directions in how to view your mind, and so on and so forth. Otherwise, you'll give the wrong knowledge to the wrong person, and we'll apply the wrong statements of scripture to ourselves, or you know, we reveal our mind to somebody we shouldn't reveal our minds to, they're not qualified to understand or do anything about it. So a little intelligence has to be there. If we're lacking intelligence, we have to inquire from others as to what I should do. And that is also taking shelter of the mercy of Krishna through
also empowered by Krishna to act in such and such a way. Their characteristics, their qualities are Krishna's mercy. They may be misused in Krishna's mercy, but nonetheless it is Krishna's mercy. And taking shelter of Krishna's mercy is more than just the sentiment within the heart. Their intelligence, we have to act with intelligence also. And Prabhupada said that to Giri Raj Maharaj. He said, yes, sincerity of purpose, Giri Raj Maharaj said, when Prabhupada, how the movement will carry on. He said, if we're all sincere, Prabhupada, they will carry on. He said, yes, but that's not enough. You have to be intelligent also. Be organized, intelligent. So that applies to our own lives as well. Using common sense is probably the least common thing in society. Though it's called common sense, it's not very common. We have to try and we have trouble. We can pray for it, try for it. We can pray for that, but we act in a way which is proper and appropriate. We don't have any, we may not be clear who to go to. So we can pray in Krishna and send. Yes, I was thinking about the other day when Vermila was talking about how we came to Krishna consciousness. I remember I was remembering that when I, very soon, I was praying, quite intently praying to Jesus Christ, I need to have some personal direction. Please, I was actually praying, send somebody along to give me direction in spiritual life. And was it wrong after that before we came in contact with Islam? By mercy, ask for mercy, taking shelter. Yes, and we can't. You'll surely achieve perfection if you're truly sincere. We're getting Krishna's, will give us the, you know, necessary social circumstances to invoke us to become humble. And actually take shelter. Taking shelter, you love us for your means, full humility, with all humility in my command. Not just some imposition or some theoretical adjustment, some motivated kind of behavior, but with all sincerity, absolutely without. Since the word sincere comes from, I think, from Rome, from Italy, I think it's a Roman Latin word, which was referring to marble. A marble is unblemished. It's not got any crack or any dent. It's a pure marble, pure marble. It's unalloyed. Okay, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.